for today's message comes from Mark chapter 12. Quite a familiar passage to probably all of us, I would expect. Mark chapter 12, we'll read the verses 1 through to 12. That starts on page 1078 in the church Bibles. So Mark 12, verse 1. And he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a fence around it, and dug a pit for the winepress, and built a tower, and leased it to tenants, and went into another country. When the season came, he sent a servant to the tenants to get from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. And they took him, and beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent to them another servant, and they struck him on the head and treated him shamefully. And he sent another, and him they killed. And so with many others, some they beat, some they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally, he sent him to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." And they took him, and killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they were seeking to arrest him, but feared the people, for they perceived that he had told the parable against them. So they left him and went away. This is your last warning. Have you ever heard someone say that to you? Maybe your kids, your parents might have said that to you, or your teacher at school, your boss, traffic officer. If you've heard those words, it probably means that you've already heard many previous warnings. People have spoken to you on other occasions, perhaps many, many other times. And up to this point, they've been very patient with you. They've given you a lot of chances. But now their patience has come to an end, and this is your final warning. In this passage, Jesus gave the Jewish rulers their final warning. On many other occasions, he'd spoken to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes about who he was and what he had come to do. And of course, very few of them believed him. Now, at this point in the Gospel of Mark, it's about 1 week before Christ's death on the cross. On the Sunday of that week, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey to the cheering and praise of the crowds, and that's the day we remember as Palm Sunday, which in fact is today. The next day, Monday, was the day that he chased the traders and the moneylenders out of the temple. And now we're on Tuesday, where he spent the day in Jerusalem teaching the people and speaking to them in parables, including this one that we've just read. And this is the last parable recorded in this gospel, and may well be the very last parable that Jesus told during his ministry. Now, I wonder if one of the very smart children here can tell me what a parable is. I know you know. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Okay, so it's a story that takes an ordinary everyday event to teach a lesson about the kingdom of God. In this parable, Jesus describes a typical situation in Palestine of that day. A landowner built a vineyard. He built a wall around it to mark off the boundary, to keep out animals and strangers. He dug a pit to collect the grape juice that was being pressed out. And he built a watchtower, a wooden platform, couple of square metres up in the air, which was used to guard the vineyard, and it formed a shelter for the farmer. Then he rented out the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. Now apparently this is quite common practice during those times, when much of the upper Jordan Valley was owned by foreign landlords and leased out to tenant farmers. So those who worked on these farms were allowed to keep most of the crops, but a portion of it had to go back to the owner as their lease payment. And the scribes and the Pharisees who were listening to Jesus, they knew the scriptures well enough to know that the vineyard represented the people of Israel. And that's from the passage we read in Isaiah chapter 5. And they also knew that the owner of the vineyard was God, and that the tenant farmers were the leaders of Israel, the kings, the priests, and the scribes. Now Jesus used this parable to tell the hearers and us about God and about his patience, his love, but also his wrath. We see the patience of God described in verses 2 to 5. Once the vineyard began to bear fruit, the owner wanted to collect a share of the crop, so he sent a servant to receive it, from verse 2. But the tenants grabbed this first servant, beat him up, and sent him away empty-handed. And this too is a familiar picture to those who are listening. Labour unrest is nothing new. And even in those times, there was a lot of ill feeling between landowners and workers. That sort of behaviour, yes, it's wrong, but it was not uncommon. But the owner was not one to give up easily. He sent another servant, but they struck this man on the head and treated him shamefully, in verse 4. Then the owner sent yet another servant, but they killed him. And after that, he sent many others. Some of them were beaten, others were killed. Now this is a picture of God's servants, the prophets. They were sent to remind the kings and priests what God expected of them. But the leaders of Israel rejected them. Some of them were beaten up, many were killed. Just think of the shameful treatment given to Jeremiah during his ministry. But the vineyard is a picture of God's people, and he expects his people to produce fruit. He wants to see fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. He wants to see the fruit of faith and obedience. God has been very generous to all of us. We enjoy many privileges and blessings. That includes all the children and young people as well. What are you doing with all this? What are you doing with God's blessings? How are you responding? And what fruit are you bearing? When the Lord looked for good grapes from his people Israel, he found only bad ones. He looked for justice but saw bloodshed, for righteousness but heard cries of distress. And that again is from our passage in Isaiah. Are you producing fruit in your life? Fruit of obedience, righteousness, justice? Now the fact that God kept sending his prophets is a remarkable indication of his infinite patience with us. People of Israel, they mistreated, beat and killed his servants, the prophets, but the Lord kept sending them. Now why did he do that? Well, he wanted to give them time to come to their senses, to give them an opportunity to repent and to change, to do what they ought to do. Well, brothers and sisters, it is the same today. The Lord Jesus is still sending his servants. Elders, deacons, pastors, teachers, missionaries. The Lord continues to call people to himself through his word and spirit. God is patient. That's why he's delaying the return of the Lord Jesus. In 2 Peter we read, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." That includes each one of you. The Lord wants you to repent. All of you, each of you. But don't despise God's patience, because you don't know how long that will last. Secondly, God's patience climaxes in the display of his love. The owner of the vineyard had sent many servants. He had one left to send, a son whom he loved. This is a picture of the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, remember there was a voice from heaven. It said, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Jesus is the only Son of the Father, his unique Son, his eternal Son. The Father and the Son have always existed in this relationship together from all eternity. So the Father decided that he would send him, his Son, last of all. This suggests that Jesus came at the end of all these previous servants. Jesus was the final messenger from the Father, and his coming was the climax of everyone who had been sent before. The writer of the Hebrews explains this at the beginning of his letter. "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son." One of the hymns in our hymnal, and if you want to look it up later, it's number 182, and it's the fourth verse, puts it like this: "We read thee best in him who came to bear for us the cross of shame, sent by the Father from on high, our life to live, our death to die." He sent him last of all. And as he did this, he said, "They will respect my Son." Now, if you or I had been the owner of that vineyard, it would never have got this far. By this time, we would be extremely cynical, we'd be disillusioned, we'd be careful, we'd probably be a bit angry too. We would have thought the worst of these good-for-nothing tenants. But Jesus described the love of God the Father. This is where we shouldn't press the details of the parable too much. The thoughts of the owner are not the thoughts of God. For the Father knew what the leaders of Israel would do to his Son. He was not naive. He knew that the scribes and the Pharisees would not respect his Son, would not believe in him, or would not turn to him. God knew that Jesus would be rejected and killed. But still he sent him. He was sent as the ultimate demonstration of his love. An anonymous quote where someone once asked, "Who delivered up Jesus to die?" It was not Judas for money, not Pilate for fear, not the Jews for envy, but the Father for love. The Apostle John expressed this love in those well-known words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." He sent him last of all, saying, "They will respect my Son." Now sometimes when you're reading a book, you hesitate to turn a page because you know that something bad's going to happen. Or you're watching a movie and it's getting a bit tense. Someone turns and walks down a dark alley and there's creepy music. And you just know that that person is walking into great danger. Well, I wonder if this is how many of the listeners who were listening to Jesus' parable felt at this point. No, they thought, they're not going to respect his Son. They expected the worst. And the worst happened. The tenants saw the Son coming and they schemed to themselves. They said, "Well, here comes the heir." They might have assumed that the landowner had died and the Son had come to inspect his property. Well, if they killed the Son, they reasoned, the property would become theirs. they could claim ownership of the vineyard, so they murdered the son and threw his body outside. The lesson here is that the leaders of Israel, they didn't care about God or the prophets or God's son. They were only concerned about themselves. They were selfish, greedy, and they would stop at nothing to pursue their own ends. Well, Jesus therefore warns them that they would experience God's wrath. We've considered God's patience, his love, and now we consider his wrath or his anger. When Jesus spoke about the loved son of the landowner, he introduced himself into the story. He spoke about his own death, and the religious leaders knew it. They knew that he directed the parable at them. He did this as a final warning to them about what they were intending to do. This was their last chance to turn aside from what they were planning. But they would have none of that. Verse 12, it says, they looked for a way to arrest him. They were determined to go ahead with their plans. They were filled with anger, hatred, and jealousy. They ignored the final warning, and they carried on. Jesus then asks a rhetorical question. He says, what then will the owner of the vineyard do? Well, Jesus knows the answer, and so did his hearers. He will come and kill those worthless tenants and give the vineyard to others. So the wrath and judgment of God came upon the nation of Israel in 70 AD when the Roman armies marched into Jerusalem, killing the people and destroying the city. Then the vineyard was given to others, the Gentiles. The Jews had rejected the Son, Jesus, the Messiah. So God broadened his plan of salvation to take in all the peoples of the world. At Pentecost, the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit to the New Testament believers, and they went out and they planted vineyards all over the world, in Judea, in Samaria, Antioch, Ephesus, London, Tibet, Africa, New Zealand, everywhere. The death of Jesus seemed like the end, but it was only the beginning. This is why Jesus concluded this parable by quoting from Psalm 118, verse 22 and 23. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus changes the image from a vineyard to a building. The word capstone or cornerstone literally means head of the corner, and it probably refers to the large stone that was set to anchor the corner and align the walls, and it was often the first stone laid in a new building. Now Jesus knew he would be rejected, but he would also be raised. He would die, but God would bring him to life and seat him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. In this parable, Jesus explained that God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. God has sent his one and only Son as the greatest demonstration of his love, but he will judge those who reject Jesus, his Son. Brothers and sisters, there are some situations in life where you get a last warning. This is also true in our life with God and in our response to the Lord Jesus. This may be your last warning. Don't ignore it. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this passage of scripture that we could study today. We thank you for the picture that it shows of you, Lord, as a infinitely patient and loving God. But let us not forget, O Lord, that you are also a God of wrath. Pray, Heavenly Father, that everyone here who is listening today will not reject your Son, Jesus, that we will take him as our personal Lord and Saviour. We thank you for your mercy towards us, that you sent him to die on the cross to take our sins upon himself. Lord, let us heed this warning this morning, and let us cling to Christ our Saviour. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.